baby, just breathe. Welcome to Chromatic Elephant, a podcast about race, trauma, and the impact of white body supremacy. Here are your hosts, Tyler Reitzner and Resma Menakem.
Welcome to Chromatic Elephant. I'm Tyler Reitzner.
I'm Resma Menakem. I like how you just tried to, after we what we just did, you just drop into, I'm Tyler Reitzner. Good. It's good to be with you, brother.
It's good to be here, too, with you, and once again, bringing the elephant into the room.
That's it.
And today, we're really, we do every time. I don't know why I'm emphasizing, really, because we do this every time, but today, we're going to be talking about something that, for some reason, is super sensitive. I feel like it's kind of a no-brainer, and that is the implications of arming teachers in schools, and this is based off of a decision recently by the Florida legislature and government to start arming their teachers and having them carry guns. And we're basing, you know, we're referencing an article in the New York Times by Patricia Mazzi, and it's called "Florida to Let Teachers Carry Guns: Will Black Students Pay the Price?" And we'll use that article to kind of, and that article will be on our website and connected to this podcast. But I think that the article is, for me at least, I'm not going to speak for you, the article is a good kind of reference point. But this idea of arming teachers as a way to make our children safer, especially in the context of race, is, for to me, it's just complete insanity.
Yes.
It there's no rational way from my perspective to even think that this is a good idea at all. And especially having, you know, a biracial son, like I can tell you right now, based on our history in this great big country of ours, there's no way in hell my son's going to a school where teachers are getting to carry guns,
especially in Florida.
Especially in Florida because of their history.
That's right. But,
if we did it, we're doing this in Minnesota. This is right. Where we do our podcast, where we live. No way. I'm letting my if the school district that we live in started saying, "Yeah, we're going to let our teachers." No, he's either that or he's packing.
That's right.
Because I'm serious.
That's right.
You know, if the same logic.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And that's, and even if you break it down that way, that seems insane to me. That's right. I don't want my kid going to school carrying a gun. And at the same time, that's the same logic that they're using to justify teachers carrying a gun.
Right.
And the implications for that, because we already know kids of color, and let's just use good old Minnesota, which is, you know, this great progressive state. In our state alone, they're way more likely to be disciplined, and disciplined in a much more severe manner than white kids. And don't think that teachers having guns is going to come in, is not going to come into play in those situations. It feels like we're literally setting ourselves up for more murder. And I'm just like, it makes no sense to me.
Well, for me, man, honestly, you know me, I always think about this in context, right?
Yep.
And so for me, our children our children in 2019 come from a context, a contextual context of a history that has said at one point that this child ultimately is product.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You forget that. Like, when people talk about why, you know, even if you account for the redlining and one of the things around wealth, that wealth that's built in this country is based on home ownership, and for many years the redlining and different types of covenants and all that different type of stuff, not being able to use the GI Bill, different things like that, stopped black people from actually building wealth, right? Had real detrimental effect on black people and black neighborhoods. The idea that the black child in the black body is product is you got to me, you have to put that context out there first, right? Yeah. Also, for most of our history, it has been illegal for black people to read, to even read.
Mm-hmm.
You could get, your people could get whipped and killed and murdered if somebody found a book with you. So that's another part of the content, mm-hmm. right? And our relationship with police has a particular type of relationship in the context of this country. In the context of this country, the idea of policing black bodies comes out of the enslavement catchers mm-hmm. kind of role, right? Yeah. And white bodies being deputized to manage black bodies, right? So now, given that context, and given that fraught history between black bodies and white bodies, and don't forget, most teachers are white women,
mm-hmm.
right? Most teachers, and remember, when you talk about white women, you're not separating them from white people. This is not like, okay, there's white men and there's white women and they're two separate things.
Yeah.
This is part of the same thing. So white women's fragility and white women's tears evoke people, it mobilizes people, right?
Mm-hmm.
White woman cries, people mobilize. White black women cry, people don't mobilize.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah.
People, they're suspicion fraught with black women's tears, right? And so this whole idea of black, of white women being pure and white women having this needing to be protected and stuff like that, there's a real mobilizing effect. One of the most horrible, one of the things that happened in the state in Duluth in terms of lynchings, mm-hmm. right? The Duluth lynchings, that stuff happened because of a white woman's tears.
That's correct.
Right? And so there's a lot, you know, 15,000 white men and children and women got mobilized to do that.
Yep.
Right? So that's the context that I'm thinking about this in. And so now, given that context, and I'm not even talking about Trump, alt-right, history of like rabid racist and white supremacist and stuff like that, we're now going to, I mean, this is a country that actually snatches babies out of people's arms and puts them in camps. Think about this, man.
Yeah.
Think about this. This country.
Of people of color.
Black, I mean, brown and red
yep.
people, right?
Yep.
This country. So to talk to you about how strong this race thing is in this country,
mm-hmm.
all you got to do to make white people nervous. This is all you got to do. This is not something dramatic. All you got to do to make white people nervous is have a black man kneel quietly on a football field.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got to do.
Yep.
And all of that shit starts to pop up, right? All of the constriction, all of that stuff starts to pop up. That's the backdrop of handing white people guns
mm-hmm.
in a classroom with kids of color,
yeah.
right? You can't divorce that from this yeah. context.
Because we've already seen that context that's right. that you're talking about play out when trained police officers
absolutely.
Who are trained to use these weapons.
That's right.
And that comes up in this article. It talks
right.
about it. So you have we have that context
that's right.
already playing itself
already.
Out. And already. Now you're going to give it to people who aren't trained.
Who aren't trained.
And no matter how much you train them, this is not in their wheelhouse.
This is
not in their wheelhouse.
And this isn't about training.
No.
See, that's what people always genuflect to. I've worked with police officers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't about training. This is about being fish. This is about asking a fish to describe water.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about you being nice or individual or anything like that. This is about what has seeped into who you are and has been so decontextualized that you see it as standard and procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Blowing a listen, me and you are sitting here talking today. It's May 9th, right?
Something like that.
Whatever it is. Me and you are talking right now where a black man was in a car with a baby in the back seat of a car.
That's correct.
And his wife and his girlfriend driving the car. He can legally carry a weapon.
Yep.
He puts his hands up, tells the person, I have a gun. Here is all my registration, all that stuff. And the dude empties his clip
into
his body with a baby in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
His family gets $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is. Then a white woman gets shot needlessly
mm-hmm.
by a black cop. First of all, he gets convicted.
Of murder.
That's and correct. Manslaughter.
That's correct.
Right? That has not happened in the history of Minnesota.
That's correct.
When a white cop shoots a black body. Right? And yep. murders a black body. First, that's the first thing. The second thing is that white family got $20 million.
Without going to court.
Without going to court.
That's right.
Without, it's like, that's why I say it to you. The white body is the supreme standard. Whatever, no matter what domain you're talking in, the white body is the supreme standard by which all bodies' humanity shall be measured. Everybody knew going in. Right?
Yeah.
That this white body is worth more than that black body. We all know that. We never say that, but it's the elephant in the room.
That's
we
correct.
We all know it's there. We all know that we place an intrinsic value on the white body compared to the black, brown, or red body. We do. And so now we're going to give teachers guns.
That's correct.
In the context of that.
We're going to have guns, and it'll be interesting too. You know, they're talking about giving teachers guns, training them. Those are all the funding. That's going to be resources. Who are those teachers, and what schools are going to be prioritized for those things?
What do you think?
Exactly.
What do you think?
Exactly.
Come on, man.
So that's what I'm asking that rhetoric. Like,
no, I know you are.
We know that what's going to happen.
That's right.
And so we're actually going to be training and giving guns to the people who already in a context that's already considered like us against them, we're trying to protect our own.
Yeah.
Which it's actually, quite frankly, our own that are that's coming it. Into these schools shooting up people.
And not into the inner city school.
No.
Right? Mm-hmm. So here's the setup about mm-hmm. this. Here's the, I'm glad we're on doing this as a podcast so I can talk. Mm-hmm. Here's the fuckery of this, right?
Yep.
The fuckery of this is that we are going to, many of those, we know that those guns are going to end up with teachers, probably in the inner city.
Yeah.
Right? We also know that in that context, that those teachers more than likely have less seniority, which means they're younger, right? Most of them don't want to be in the inner city schools. They want to get up in seniority so they can then transfer to other schools, right? Mm-hmm. So there's already a resentment there. And now you're going to hand them guns.
Mm-hmm.
The gap between the education gap between black students and white students is huge, right? And you're going to give that is not just an individual school's problem. That is a structural problem not just with the students. That is the structural problem not just with the parents. That is also a structural problem within the educational field. Yeah. Most senior teachers don't teach in inner city schools. The ones who have the most skills don't teach in inner city schools.
Well, and let's talk about the students, right?
Right.
There's not, we both do a lot of work mm-hmm. with schools mm-hmm. and school districts, and one of the largest issues, if not the largest issue, especially when you're talking about how do we become a trauma-informed school, which we hear all the time, right? How do we become a trauma-informed school? We won't even talk about that right now. But there is nothing that thinks about, there's nothing about having guns with students that thinks about the students' well-being.
Or trauma.
Well, trauma, that's because those students, especially students of color, mm-hmm. who are already feeling the system, the othering of the system.
That's right.
And now all of a sudden, and to them, people with authority, there's a reaction
that's
over
right.
the context of time
right.
with people with authority with weapons.
With weapons.
And especially white people
that's
with authority.
Right. And it's not a benign
it
context.
It is not a benign context. And so now you're telling these kids to just forget about, you know, hundreds of years worth of
brutality.
Internalized brutality and growing up like you having I have a book at home that's from that was written by a St. Paul African-American police sergeant, former African-American police sergeant.
Who is it?
Melvin Carter Jr.
Yeah.
He Save Our Sons,
yeah.
his organization,
That's
Save
right.
Our Sons, right?
That's right?
So I have this book and I bought it because I've been looking at, you know, I talk about, you know, my relationship with my youngest son who is biracial and trying to figure out how do I bridge some gaps that we're going to have. And there's some I'm not going to be able to just bridge.
Yeah.
And so I bought this book and it's this tiny little book that is designed for kids. For African-American parents to talk to their kids about when they get pulled over and what they, how they act, what they do.
Yeah.
And it's literally like, here's how you act when a cop pulls you over. Are we now going to have to design books? Here's how you have to act at school because your teacher has a gun.
Yeah.
And white folks,
if
white folks don't think about those things.
They
I didn't know that I didn't grow up with that kind of thing. I didn't know that book existed until I walked into an event.
Right.
And again, around trauma-informed care
yeah.
for Save Your Sons and see this book.
Yeah.
And I bought this book and there's people, and I'll use it all the time now for white folks to say, who start to get in these conversations about carrying guns and
right.
kind of in this Wild West mentality
that's
of
right.
like, we'll just shoot them up
that's
and
right.
that'll answer all the questions.
Right.
You know, this stupid freaking alpha, toxic masculinity bullshit that's just, it's just dense and unevolving. But I'm digressing now because that really pisses me off that people go down that road. And you show them that book and be like, I've gotten comments on that book of like, no, of course not. I'm white, which tells me a lot right
that's
there.
Right. That's right.
Or what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this surprise that that is out there or exists.
Right.
So that also, I don't think there's, I didn't look at who voted on this in Florida
right.
or, you know, when I look at the proponents of this, it's a bunch of white people, man.
Listen,
because nobody of color is going to be like, yeah, let's start giving everybody guns.
This is,
it doesn't run that way.
Listen, this is why this stuff happens, is because it feeds into the kind of safety, kind of citizens council type of thing, right? If you got a gun, and you have enough people that have guns, you can keep the state away from it. You can keep you can protect people. You can do that. You know, there's a whole long history of guns and God and all of that different type of stuff wrapped up into this, man.
The pro-life people who love guns. Yeah.
Yep. I think that when it comes to black children and arming people who have yet to even do anything with the historical stuff, the intergenerational, I mean, that hasn't even been addressed, right?
Yeah.
And now you're going to put something like guns into that soup. And here's the other piece. I think this idea of using, I was talking with, I told you earlier, I was talking with my brother. My brother's a cop. He's been a cop for like 30 something years, like 20 something years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he trains police officers in weapons training. And he said, whenever we talk about this, he goes, dude, he said, listen, let me tell you something. He said, people have this view of discharging your weapon that is so beyond reality that, and the only reference point that they have is what's on TV.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like I watch SWAT or I watch some show or maybe even if I watch, you know, Cops or something like that. It's still TV. It's still removed. Mm-hmm. He said, but what people don't realize is that when you discharge your weapon at another human being, it is an overwhelming sensory exposure.
Yeah.
And what he means by that, what my brother was meaning by that, is that there is a smell element to it. There is a sound element to it. There is a sensate element to it in terms of what happens to your skin. There is a vibratory element because of the ringing and the power and the kick of the gun, mm-hmm. right? There is an element of what the reactions that people have and are having. So there's sound and stuff connected to that. There are smells, there are visual elements. All of that happens at the same time, mm-hmm. right? And he says many police officers get disoriented in that, and they've been at the range, right?
Yeah.
He said, you mean to tell me a shooter comes up into the school and you got teachers that are packing heat are going to be able to decipher all of that when police officers who have 10 and 50, he said most police officers never up their weapon. Most of them get through their whole career and never have to up their weapon. Why? Because they realize what happens when that happens. Mm-hmm. He said, you always have the yahoos, right? But you also, many of them know that when you up your weapon like that, that experience is overwhelming, right? And that energy overtakes you. Mm-hmm. But yet you're going to arm teachers who have little or no experience with that. And now, here's the other piece he said. And you're doing this in a closed environment. Mm-hmm. You're doing this in an enclosed environment and you're the good guy with the gun or the good woman with the gun,
Yep.
Yeah. How the hell do the cops who come running up in there know that? How do they know the difference between you being the good guy with the gun and that being the bad guy with the gun? How do they know that? They don't. So now you've introduced another element. And if you talk to most police officers think this is a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Any of them that's worth their salt think that this is a very, very bad idea. Me and my brother my brother did a little bit more than that, but we both did about two, three years in Afghanistan. And situational awareness is big mm-hmm. when you're working I was a civilian working on a military base in 53 military bases in southern Afghanistan. Situation awareness is what you are supposed to be on with all day
all
long.
The time.
There's an orientation that you get accustomed to. To me, if somebody, my situation awareness is designed to help me get out of danger. I also do Krav Maga, right? I'm supposed to be looking for things so I can remove myself before that happened. How come we're not talking about that before we even get to guns? How come we're not talking about that with regard to teachers? How do we help teachers begin to talk more about or begin to help administrators or environments talk about situational awareness as opposed to good guy with guns?
Well, and that because we're not in reality.
we're in not, upside down.
We're in an because look at everything you just talked about. And let's here. Bear with me a second.
Okay, I got
here
you.
I want to take you down this road.
Take me.
Because this idea of good guy versus evil.
Yeah,
that's Star Wars bullshit. That's not That's like Darth Vader versus Luke, that the dark side versus the light side. Yeah. That's not reality.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make it reality because it makes us feel like we have some semblance of control and understanding. Mm-hmm. When what would really bring us into reality is, so everything you just said about disorienting, it being disorienting for the teachers, then I want to know why it's not for that kid that's walking in.
Way to bring that home.
With the gun. Because it's not natural that it's not for them. Those kids that are coming in there to shoot up a school, that is not a natural state.
No.
That is not something that evil people just do.
Right.
And that's the reality is something is going on there to get someone into that type of state where I would argue they are not in.
Right.
Not, it's not just that they're not in their right mind.
No.
They are not in their right body.
That's right.
They
That's
are,
right.
They are. They have disconnected to the point They're where they can do this horrible, awful thing. I am not justifying school shootings or what they're doing. I am saying there's a reason that they can do it, and we aren't tapping into that at all. We're ignoring it. In fact, what we're saying is let's just give everybody guns.
That's right.
Because and promoting
That's right.
the lack of reality
That's
there
right.
instead of just like, you know, kind of going back to one of your original points that you make a lot is we got to stay in that discomfort.
We got to stay there.
And instead of staying in that discomfort, we want to arm
that's
teachers
right.
because they're the good guy. And that kid that's walking in with, he's evil.
He's the bad
or
guy.
Or she's evil. Yeah.
So I think the point that you just made is huge. I think that understanding how a person gets reoriented and disoriented to the point that they will, like yesterday, where they'll walk up into a school in Denver and shoot kids from like kindergarten all the way up to 18, because that was the range of the school, or sixth grade all the way, but whatever, little kids.
Yep.
That is a particular orientation. That is a particular... Nobody wakes up like that.
No.
There is something that is going on that allows that kid to be oriented to that place.
And it's not... It is not mental illness.
Yeah.
It's not because they're crazy.
Yeah. Because
that is a freaking excuse that makes... Again, makes us feel comfortable.
Well, here's what I would say. And this just... I don't know what this... It's the water.
It is.
And if we never look at the water, we always look at the person.
Yep.
We always look at the individual person. I mean, it's we always want to say...
And want to one-off them.
You one-off them.
Other them.
I mean, it's why we call white people who do this gunmen, lone gunmen, or mental health issues, and a brown person that does that, a terrorist.
No, we call them mentally ill.
Yeah.
We don't say they have mental... Because they do have mental health
That's
issues.
Right. That's
we are living in a country
right.
that has an epidemic of mental health issues.
But one reason is because our damn insurance is so crappy.
Insurance?
And we don't take care of people. we do these things that don't help. The safety net, first of all, the rolling back of the safety net is something that's been going on for a long time. Well, now this is what you get when you roll back.
And instead of actually looking at how do we help our kids.
Yes, right.
And really promote not only safety, but health.
Health.
How do we promote health
thriving.
With our kids?
Like you're
thriving.
That's right.
Exactly. How do we promote that? Instead, our answer is, well, we need to give teachers guns.
Dude, this is the... Listen,
We won't pay for mental health in schools. We won't pay for...
We hardly pay for their damn lunch.
We won't even pay for the...
I just read a thing the other day where they're taking kids who can't afford to eat lunch and have a bill that's over a certain... They're only handing them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I just read that a couple days ago. So not only... Not only do they get traumatized because this might probably, if they can't afford it, this is probably one of the only meals that they will get throughout the day.
Yeah.
Now they have to be shamed.
Yep.
This
I lived through that, and I know how that feels. I was, as a kid, we had pink lunch tickets for the free lunch.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you right now, that wasn't fun walking around
with
exactly a pink
right.
ticket. You
that's
got
it.
The crap kicked out of you. But
that's it.
But that's the other side is these kids are just trying to survive the freaking rigors of growing up and the peer pressures and all those things. And now we're going to tell them, we're going to make you feel safer by giving teachers guns. And it doesn't make them feel safer. It does not. Just like doing shooter drills.
That's right.
Does not
make them. No, that actually re-traumatizes.
Re-traumatizes or traumatizes the shit out of the kids. That's right. We've seen it. It's proven. But yet we're still doing it.
Let me ask you this, man. Yeah. Can you imagine this? Check this out. So we've been talking about the kids, right? We've been talking about the kids and about what that might do in the environment, right? But check this out. Every year, my son's 18 now, so we haven't been to one in a while. But from the moment he was in kindergarten all the way up to now, every year we had to go to parent-teacher conferences.
Yep.
Can you imagine going to a parent-teacher conference, talking about your kid, Johnny, who's been acting up, acting a damn donkey. He is, you know, he a little black kid. He ain't doing what he's supposed to do. His IEP ain't right. And you go in there to meet with the teachers, and dude got a nine millimeter on his hip.
Yeah.
I mean, just as a parent, think about what will go through your mind if you're sitting there and the teacher that you're talking with is frustrated with your child. Because your child is not acting right, and he's got a 9 millimeter on his hip.
And as a parent, I'm not sure I'm listening to a word they're saying.
That's right.
I can't imagine what a person of color is going through looking at someone in quote-unquote authority.
That's right.
Who's carrying a frickin' gun.
And imagine if you're a parent of color. Like, I'm a parent of color. I have some means.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh.
I have some means. I have a lawyer. I got people in different places. Mm-hmm. If I need to access and rally resources, I can do that. Now imagine you're poor and your child has that pink ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Imagine you can't get you're getting off work and actually coming in means that you lose pay.
Yeah.
Right? And now you got to come into the school, and this dude is talking to you about all the frustration. Or this woman is talking about all the frustration that she has legitimately with your child. And they have a gun on their hip. What resources do you have access to? Because what you know is that this has been sanctioned by this institution.
Talk about a police state.
Talk about a police state.
I mean, you can't even go to parent-teacher conferences without... Which, to me, again... What in the hell are we doing? This doesn't even make any sense. It can't be part of the water. What water, man? I look at this and I'm like, this is
You don't
insane.
Think that's part of the water?
Well, maybe that's because I'm part of the water. Like, that's I'm living in the water.
This is part of the water, man. Yeah. This is the... See, if we divorce it from being part of the water, then we can figure out a way to carve that out and put that over here.
That's true, yeah.
It's not over here. It's part of the structural piece. It is. And I'm not going into Illuminati and I'm not doing all of that stuff.
Oh, it doesn't have to be covert like that.
Most of the stuff that happens to black bodies ain't covert.
No.
Most of the stuff that happens to black people see it right in the face. Eyes. Did you watch? Did you know they released the tapes for Sandra Bland?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
That's listen, man, what they did to that woman, the way that they murdered that woman, that was right there in the face. And they hid it for 4 years.
That's correct.
For 4 years, they kept that horror from the public because they knew that they murdered that woman. And thank God she recorded it before they murdered her.
Mm-hmm.
Murdered her. It's part of the water. Murdering black bodies is part of the water. It is not a surprise. It is not a one-off. It is part of the structure. And the destruction of black bodies is woven into the system. And if white people are unable or not if white people are unwilling to look at it for what it is. So they want to make it as an aberration as opposed to structural.
I can feel that. Like, literally, I do not want to admit. Because one of the things I'm struggling with, even in reading this article, is there's a part of me that keeps saying that's in Florida. Those people are crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that can frickin' happen.
It does
anywhere.
Happen.
It does. Yeah, we just talked about how it's happened here.
That's right.
So yeah, it's not.
You know me, man. I'm about police accountability, but at the same time, I understand white body supremacy and how the white body is the supreme standard of humanity. So when me and my wife heard that Nora got charged, we both said he going to jail. We both said it.
Yeah.
We said he ain't getting off. He killed a blonde white woman.
That's correct.
So the rules that are in the water, that are in the backdrop, like in the Apple computer, there's an operating system. An operating system did what it was supposed to do. And so the fact that he was a cop didn't protect him from what?
Yeah.
From that rule, right?
Yep.
And so for me, man, this idea of putting guns in the classroom is part and parcel of what this system is doing and has been designed to do. Once we became less useful as commodity,
mm-hmm,
and product production and live human factories to produce more, inhuman, to produce more product that they could sell. Once that ceased, then they had to bring in a way of managing that through Jim Crow, right?
Yeah.
And once you are less useful in this system as a product, as a commodity, that has to be discarded, and that's what you're saying. So. All right.
I laugh because, yeah, if I don't, I'm going to cry. Yeah, and I knew that going into this particular episode, especially more than any, like this, because it's just utter madness. There's no way I can rationalize it, yeah, and make sense of it.
Yeah.
And yet that's literally where we live. We're living in this.
Upside down.
So we're going to keep fighting and keep resisting here.
Got to keep doing it.
Yeah. It's been great as always, my friend.
Always, brother. Always.
This has been Chromatic Elephant. I'm Tyler Reitzner.
I'm Rezma Minikim. Peace.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us on Chromatic Elephant. Support for this podcast comes from My Grandmother's Hands and Rezma Menekin at Rezma.com or text RESMAA to 55222. Support also comes from Thriver Institute, helping organizations in social services, education, and pediatrics find practical and culturally responsive approaches to applying trauma-informed practices. Live to thrive. Chromatic Elephant is produced and directed by Tyler Reitzner and Rezma Menekin, with technical production by Noah Brown and Andre Gobert. Thank you for listening, and keep acknowledging the Chromatic Elephant in the room.